Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
You know, 4th of July is a fun holiday, though. It really is. It feels like the peak of summer. It's just that day where it just feels like it all comes together. Just such a fantastic day, except for, well, there's the part where your skin melts off because it's so hot. That part is not as much fun. And then also the crowds. The crowds are not as much fun. I don't know if you've ever tried to brave going to the beach on July 4th. I would not advise it. It's a little rough. You bump into a lot. I tell you, one of the few times, if only, we've ever gone to the beach on the 4th of July was actually during COVID. So there was no one there. It was amazing. We had the entire beach to ourselves. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it was July 4th. So, it's funny. I don't know if you guys are, like, going to the beach or not. I was not raised as, like, a beach person. I wasn't kind of the trips and vacations that most of my family took. But I did marry into a beach family. So my wife and her family love it. My wife can stay out there from dawn until dusk. Anybody else an all-day beach person? Yeah, so she converted me. She brought me over. I crossed over there, and I joined the beach crew. So I had a lot to learn, though. You know, if you don't come from a beach family, there's a lot of things you got to learn about going to the beach. It's not just as easy as you think. See, I didn't realize all the packing that was involved. Now, I'm not talking about, I know, you think I may be talking about the packing that comes as you get ready to go to the hotel or, you know, from home to the hotel or to the condo. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the second packing that happens every single day. There you go down to the beach. Because I had no idea people carried that many things to the beach. See, I was a non-beach person. I just thought you brought a towel. And then maybe at that. Sometimes I don't even want a towel. I'll just dry off on the way back. But seriously, these wagons. My mother-in-law, I love her, but her wagon, it's packed so full, it looks like she's trying to survive the frontier. I'm like, Miss Nancy, it's Gulf Shore. It's not the Oregon Trail. But that's where it's kind of like, there's like pots and pans and sinks and dried bison or something. And it's crazy. I see all these things and it's just very different for me. I am the epitome of someone who loves to travel light. Okay, so I know this will drive some of you crazy, but when I go to the airport and I check a bag, I love it when it's like under 40 pounds. I feel like I've accomplished something. I love traveling light. I like the freedom of movement that comes. In fact, my mother-in-law will ask a lot of times if I'm going to take a coat on a trip. And my answer is always no, I'm not going to take a coat. Especially when she asked me that question when all of the family was traveling to Las Vegas in the summer. I most definitely was not taking a coat. She takes a coat everywhere, but I love being unencumbered. I don't like the heavy bags as I'm going through the airport or I'm lugging it up to the hotel or to people's houses that we're staying in, things like that. I hate that. I love it when I can just be free. I love that freedom of movement. So the question I have for you is, do you travel light? Now, I'm not talking about your summer vacation, though. I'm actually talking about your life. You see, we have the potential to carry a lot. A lot of baggage can travel with us. A lot of burdens. Things like fear, disappointment, and shame, and guilt, and rejection, and isolation, worry. All of these kinds of things, they can just tag along with us throughout our life. And what happens is as more and more things get piled on top of you, it gets harder and harder to move. It's sort of the opposite of freedom. And, you know, you can actually become pretty comfortable with the weights that you carry. I remember watching the weight loss reality TV shows, and the contestants on there would lose an incredible amount of weight. It was really impressive. But invariably, like halfway, three-quarters of the way through the show, they would have a competition where the contestants would then have to either carry or drag behind them all the weight they had lost. And it's funny because they had gotten used to carrying that weight before, but now that they had lost it, once it was added back, they couldn't believe they used to be able to move around like that. I mean, even if you think something as simple as losing 5 pounds won't make a difference, next time you're at the grocery store, first thing you do, pick up a bag of sugar and walk around with it the entire time. It'll actually, you'll feel it. So these weights that we carry, they have the ability to kind of wear us down. And they affect you more than you realize. The 4th of July, it's a holiday that's all about freedom. That's the thing we celebrate most, freedom. So maybe the best question I can ask you on a day like today, as we think about America's 250th birthday, is where do you need freedom? Is it something from your past that just won't leave you? Is it a fear that's just ever present in your life? What is it in your life that's just holding you down? Because whatever it is, the weights that you're carrying, the burdens that are on your life, whatever they are making it harder to live your life. It's affecting everything from when you go to work or school or the relationships you have with other people. But most of all, what it's affecting is your ability to follow Jesus. Because it's not allowing you to live in the freedom that God's promised you. To live in the freedom that he wants you to have, because you're living in a very limited way when God has not intended for you to live that way. In fact, Jesus said this in John 8:36. He said, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." God wants us to find true freedom. He offers us that hope, but it is our choice. It's our choice to accept it. It's our choice to walk in it. It's our choice to brace it, or we can just continue to lug around that heavy wagon full of all the problems that we've carried with us in life. It's up to you, because the offer's been made. In fact, I think one of the great stories of this in the Gospels is a story of a guy who was in a really hard place, a really difficult place, and he found hope in Jesus. It begins in the book of Mark in chapter 10. Here's what it says. "Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus," which means son of Timaeus, "was sitting by the roadside begging." So the story picks up as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, but he's on his way to Jerusalem for the final time. We're talking about he's on his way for the Easter week. Now, even though Jesus has been cluing everyone in to what's about to happen, the people around him are still pretty clueless about what's going to transpire. In fact, they're probably a little bit excited about things, because in their mind, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to liberate the city. He's there to defeat the bad guys, the Romans, and give them back their freedom to rule as a nation. That's kind of what they're excited about Jesus doing, not realizing what he's actually there to do. So as they're heading to Jerusalem, they go through a city called Jericho. It was about 14 miles north of Jerusalem. And it was very common for people to go through that city on their way to Jerusalem. That was a normal path. We don't know what happened inside the city exactly, but it appears that Jesus may have picked up a few extra people, because it says as he was leaving the city, he was followed by a large crowd. And as they were headed along the path, and a little ways away was a guy sitting on the roadside begging, a blind man named Bartimaeus. Now, unfortunately, blindness was really common in the ancient world. But it wasn't necessarily because lots and lots of people were born blind back then. It was because most of the blindness that happened was actually the result of a simple eye infection. So like something we might get a ointment for, or something like that, or drops for, that would fix it, clear it up right away. Back then they didn't have that kind of medicine, so a simple eye infection could turn into permanent blindness. And that's why so many had it. And the blind today have accomplished a lot. I'm impressed by people who are blind and all that they're able to do. We had a guy in Georgia that we knew who was incredible. He was a teacher. He had traveled to more countries than I've traveled to, many times by himself. It's phenomenal what he's able to do. But the blind in Jesus' time lived in a much different world. There wasn't social services to help them. They didn't have the aids of technology. In fact, they couldn't even work. It wasn't safe. They weren't really capable and able to do that. So they really had no choices. In fact, the only thing they could do, basically, was beg. That was their life. It was a really hard place to be. That's why you see so many people who are blind or paralyzed in the gospel sitting by streets or by roadsides, because they needed to be near a steady stream of people, because without people dropping a few coins, they weren't going to make it. Now think about Bartimaeus' situation for a second. Imagine the difficulty of the life he's living. So he's got lifelong disability, no help, poverty, loneliness, and isolation. In fact, many people with disabilities weren't able to go to the temple. They weren't able to be part of the synagogue, so they felt a very alone life. Work was impossible, and guilt. See, unfortunately, many people in Jerusalem, or in Israel in that time, they believed that if a person was blind, it was the result of some kind of sin on their part. So you got that weighing down on him. It was really tough. Imagine Bartimaeus every day getting up and carrying all that with him, dragging that along day by day, those weights just bearing down on him. And you know, for Bartimaeus, it was a weight not only physically but also emotionally. And for him, it really appeared that there would never be a change in that, that there would never be any hope for him, that there would never be an opportunity to be free until this happened. In verse 47, it says, "When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" So when he found out the person approaching was Jesus, Bartimaeus got excited. Like, he saw this as his opportunity. How he knew about Jesus, we don't totally know. It doesn't say. I wonder if, because he was sitting by a roadside, if maybe he heard people talking about Jesus day after day passing by. Maybe he heard about the miracles Jesus had done. Whatever way he learned, the really neat thing about Bartimaeus is that he saw Jesus very clearly for who he was. Because he says something really interesting. He calls Jesus Son of David. Now, that wasn't just a common thing you would just call anybody. You wouldn't look at him and say, "Hey, Son of David, how are you doing?" That's not how it worked. See, to understand the significance, you actually go back to the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, God made a promise to a king named David, the greatest king of Israel. He said, "I'm going to give you a descendant who will rule forever." So if you were in Jesus' time and you called someone Son of David, it meant that you believed that person is God's Savior and was going to rule as king over all. That was a big deal. That was acknowledgement of who Jesus is. In fact, in the entire book of Mark, Bartimaeus is the only guy to ever call Jesus Son of David. Isn't it amazing that a blind guy saw Jesus more clearly than the people walking around him? So Bartimaeus cries out, "Have mercy on me." And I like to think that a lot of us understand where Bartimaeus is at. See, we may not be blind, but you know what we do understand? Desperation. We understand that moment where everything is piled on top of you. And you feel like you're about to hit a breaking point. Remember that old saying, the straw that broke the camel's back? That's the concept. The idea is that you're so weighted down, even one more small minor thing, and you're done. You ever said that to yourself? Like if one more thing happens, I am done. You kind of felt that way. And that's kind of how I feel like Bartimaeus was feeling. He's hit that wall and he doesn't know what to do. He can't take it anymore. But I love what he does there. That's the moment where instead of just losing it, he calls out to Jesus. And he says, he asks for God's mercy. And I really love that word mercy, because mercy is something that's offered not based on a person's worth. So Bartimaeus is saying, "Jesus, I see you are God's Savior. You are the King over all. I realize you are so amazing. I just need you to see me and have some compassion on my circumstance." Isn't that kind of, don't you ever feel that way sometimes? That you feel so weighed down by things that are happening in your life or things that have happened but you carry with you, that you just want to be like, "God, can you just see me? Can you just recognize what I'm going through? Can you just see the weight that's on me? Please just have some compassion and mercy on my life." But sometimes we don't do that because we actually tell ourselves things that aren't true. We actually say to ourselves, "You know what? I probably deserve this. you know what? I've earned this weight. I should just keep this baggage because that's just who I am. That's just how I've set my life up. There's no way out of this. And you begin to tell yourself why you aren't worthy of God's mercy. But it's not about worthiness. It's about his grace. That comes from. And it's quite possible that Bartimaeus, remember I'd said that many people believed that back in the day, blindness was caused by sin. And even though that's not true, that's what Bartimaeus may have believed. Because people probably whispered it over and over around him. Oh, can you believe what Bartimaeus did? Can you believe what his parents must have done behind closed doors? The kinds of secret sins they had going on. It must have been really bad for him to be blind this long. Those are the kinds of statements that are made. And maybe Bartimaeus even began to believe it. Maybe he began to wonder, why did I do to deserve this? And maybe you're bearing some weights right now in your life and you're like, what did I do to deserve this? Why can't I just find some freedom and some help? And that's why I love what Bartimaeus did, because Bartimaeus had faith. He trusted that God is a God of compassion and mercy. He didn't wait for an invitation. He just took a leap of faith. And he believed that if he would call out to God, that God would help him. Because freedom, true freedom, can't be found apart from faith. Forgiveness, healing, mercy, it's all found when we trust and believe in that God is who he says he is. There's actually a story I was reading of a guy named Henry Nouwen. He was a Catholic priest and a writer, and he was watching some trapeze artists from a German circus. They were called the Flying Rodleys. And he was watching them. He was amazed by what they were doing. And so he went up afterwards and talked to him, and they invited him to a training session, and he got to spend some time with the leader, Rodley. And Rodley was the flyer. So the flyer is the one who stands on the really tall platform, like 30, 40 feet in the air, has the bar, launches off, does the tricks in the air, really the star of the show. And then at some point, he lets go of the bar and then latches on to the person called the catcher, who's the one that sits upside down on the thing. Or like as I would explain it to people, things you'll never catch me do in a million years. Those are how I view it. But he asked him the obvious question. He said, how does all this work? And Rodley looked at him and said, well, the secret is that the flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything. So he says, when I fly to Joe, I just simply stretch out my hands and my arms and wait for him to catch me and pull me in safely. He said, the worst thing a flyer can do is try to catch the catcher. And so thinking about that later and how it related to our walk with Christ, Henry Nouwen wrote, just stretch out your arms and hands and trust, trust, trust. And that's what Bartimaeus did on that roadside near Jericho. He reached out his arms and he trusted Jesus to catch him. And that cry was an act of faith because he believed if he called out to God, then God would meet him in the middle of his messy life. See, sometimes we don't call out to God because we're afraid that our life is too messy for him, that the weights we're carrying are too much, and that we don't want him to see all of this and know all of this and get in the middle of all of this, because if he did, he might not love us and he might not want to help us. But the amazing thing about God is when you call out to him, when you have faith in him, he meets you in the middle where you are and he helps you. He doesn't leave you there. He brings you out of it. See, fear drives us away from God, but faith draws us close to God. In fact, James says this, come near to God, and he will come near to you. But the hard part is that sometimes when you take that step of faith, obstacles begin to appear. And they did for Bartimaeus. Look what happened next. It said, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. I mean, truthfully, I think he had needed to cheer up because of them. I mean, I wondered if Mark rolled his eyes when he wrote that. I mean, the same people who were just blasting this guy are now like, hey, cheer up. It's like, thanks a lot. I'm glad you're here. They were pretty tough. You know what's hard, though, is when you begin to try to walk in a new path. When you try to embrace freedom, when you look for Jesus, not everyone in your life is going to applaud your efforts. Not everyone's going to support you. Not everyone's going to be on your side as you begin to change and look for a new part. And that's exactly what happened to Bartimaeus. But we have an enemy too, Satan, who wants to keep us weighed down, who wants to keep us burdened, who wants us to never find freedom in Christ. But what I love about Bartimaeus is that he just didn't care. That as much as they told him to hush, he just cried out louder. He just kept going. You see, finding true freedom is a lot about persistence. Whenever you want to get free from the things that are weighing you down, you're going to face challenges. In those moments, what you do is you don't give up. You just begin to cry out harder. You pray more. You get more in God's word. You come to church more. You press in deeper. When you feel like things are just closing in around you, that's when you keep going. And that's what Bartimaeus did. He leaned in and believed that Jesus was going to help him. He has what I believe John wrote about here in 1 John. He says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And Jesus heard him and called him over. And this is what happened next. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Now, it's easy to miss an important detail here. Mark included this, that Bartimaeus threw his cloak aside. But this was more than a coat. It was his livelihood. So a beggar would set out the coat on the ground, and that would be used to collect the coins. It was also, because of his poverty, was probably the only possession he owned. The only thing that would keep him warm when it's cold, or to protect him from the sun when it was hot. This was it. This was all he had. So imagine this scene. Jesus calls over Bartimaeus, and he just throws his cloak to the side. And imagine the coins that he had been collecting just go flying everywhere. Now think about it. He's blind. He's not going to be able to find this coat again. He's not going to be able to find those coins. And that's really the picture of his faith. See, he didn't care about those coins. He didn't care about that coat. He didn't care about the things that defined him. He just tossed them to the side when he heard about Jesus. When Jesus called, he ran to him and left everything behind. Here's what I'm saying. There's things you're carrying around right now. There's stuff that you have that you've made your identity. There's baggage that you're weighing that you just say is you. And what I'm saying is maybe it's time that you toss that to the side, that you let it go. You put it there and you say, you know what? I'm letting go of that old identity. I'm letting go of the things that have defined me in the past, and I'm running to Jesus because he's calling me. Because you're not going to find freedom when you hold over to the things you used to have. It takes a letting go to find Jesus, because letting go is an act of faith. He knew at that point, when he let that go, he was saying, I will not need to come back to that, because Jesus has called me. He's going to change something, so I no longer need to go back. There's things in your life you say, I no longer need to go back to that, because Jesus offers something better. I trust that he's going to heal me. When Bartimaeus and Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for him? He said, I want to be healed. And this is what happened next. He said, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. That word that Jesus uses for healing, it's a Greek word, sozo. And it's interesting because throughout the New Testament, it's translated as two different things. It's translated sometimes as healing and sometimes as salvation. And I love that, because baked into that word are both ideas. You see, if a person was reading that in the first century, what Mark had written, they would instantly understand that Jesus was talking about both the inside and the outside. The idea that Jesus heals us both physically and spiritually, that he frees us from the inside out. So when we're restored, it's a sign of what God's doing in our spirit and in our hearts. God's changing us. And many of those that are healed in the gospel, they're told to go, and they do. They go, and they go to their homes. They go back to their villages. But I love what Bartimaeus does. When Jesus heals him, he goes with Jesus. He follows him. So for Bartimaeus, it wasn't just simply freedom from blindness and poverty. It was the freedom to be able to go and follow Jesus, to be able to use his story to inspire others. Because true freedom is, and true healing is, enables you to go and to serve others. It allows you to go and minister to others. Your healing is meant to be shared. Your freedom is a testimony that's supposed to let others know of God's grace. So when God sets you free, it's not just so you can call yourself free. It's freedom for a purpose. You can let go of what's holding you back so that you can move more freely into what God's plan for your life. Think about when you're on the airplane and they tell you, in case the plane goes down, put the mask on yourself before you help someone. That's because you're not going to be able to help someone when you're gasping for air. Some of you right now are gasping for air, and what I'm telling you is, find some freedom in Christ, because when you find that freedom in Christ, you're going to have the ability to be able to turn to the person next to you who's hurting, and you're going to be able to minister to them, and God's going to use you to make a difference in their life. I'm reminded of this story of a guy named John Newton. He was born in the 1700s in England. His mom was a believer. She raised him, but she died early. And he was then, because his dad was a sailor, he was thrust into the not child-friendly world of English sailing. It was a rough place. And he served as a deckhand, and then he grew up there. He was a teenager. He served. He became kind of rebellious, though. And at one point, he was serving on a ship. He was actually imprisoned. His father had to rescue him. He had to send for him. He sent him back on a boat to England. And as he was traveling, they encountered a giant storm, and it was so bad he thought he was going to die. And he was so shaken by that moment, when he got to land, he ran to the nearest church and dedicated his life to God. But the interesting thing was that he later, looking back on his life, he said, "I was a believer, but I wasn't a true follower." And you can see that in how his life continued, because his faith was not matching his actions. He was doing the opposite of what God would have wanted him to do, because he eventually got involved in the slave trade at that time and became the captain of a slave ship transporting slaves from West Africa to the New World. And if you're familiar with that, you know that they were doing some really unspeakably horrible things to people on those trips. It was terrible. And he was conflicted during this time because he knew he was doing the wrong thing. So finally, in 1754, he left it. And he became, of all things, a minister. And for the next 40 years, he served a congregation. And also during that time, he tried to make amends for what he had done by fighting against slavery, fighting for abolition of slavery, and also helping to pass a slave trade act. He was doing things to try to change people's minds about it. And it's fitting that on New Year's Day in 1773, he actually wrote a hymn for his congregation. And as they stood and sang that day, they sang these words: "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." God set John Newton free from a horrible past and used him to write the world's most famous hymn, which has reminded generations of people of God's grace. I mean, think about it. If God can heal and save a man who endured and inflicted so much suffering on others and himself, if God can save and heal and redeem that man, I know God can save and heal and redeem you. If God can take such a horrible past and turn it into something that has been a testimony for generations of people, then I know that whatever you're dealing with right now, God can take and he can redeem for something even greater than you can imagine. He offers you freedom from the weight that you're carrying. Because you know what? Your burdens are actually a testimony in waiting. Jesus said this in Matthew 11:28. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So the question I have is, are you tired of dragging this weight behind you? Are you tired of the burdens of guilt and loneliness and fear and doubt and shame and rejection and everything else that piles up? And I just wonder if maybe it's time for you to let Jesus give you some freedom to save and heal you, so that maybe you can travel in this life a lot lighter. That maybe you weren't designed to carry all these burdens by yourself. That you weren't designed to hold on to the past like you're doing. That you weren't designed to bring this with you everywhere you go. That maybe God had a design and a plan for your life that's greater than what you're currently experiencing. That he offers something to you that's more than you could ever imagine. God gives us strength. He gives us freedom, but he also gives us strength, because Jesus said in Matthew 11:30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I think he's asking you that same question today. What does he want you to, what do you want him to do for you? You see, it's a choice. It's a decision to walk in that freedom or to stay bound by what's weighing you That's your option. But I love that God gives us that choice and that freedom because he's offering something amazing. I love what N.T. Wright, a pastor and scholar, wrote about this passage. He said, "And when Jesus asks you what you want him to do for you, go for it. Ask for freedom, for salvation, and when you get it, be prepared to follow Jesus wherever he goes next." God's offering you freedom, but it's not just freedom from something. It's freedom from something for the purpose of even greater things. Let's pray. If you're here today, maybe you came in and you're like, "I'm not experiencing freedom." And maybe it's because you've never turned your life over to Christ. You've never said yes to him. Or maybe you said yes to him, but you went about as far away from him as you can go. God's offering you a way back. He doesn't want you to sit in that. He wants to save you. He wants to help you. He wants to give you freedom. So if you're here and you want to say yes to Jesus today, we're not going to ask you to come to the front, even to stand up. We're just simply asking you, if you want to say yes to him for the first time or come back to him, just simply raise your hand. And we're going to pray a prayer together. Thank you. So I'm going to ask everyone to pray this prayer with me. Say, "Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with you. I am a new creation in Christ. Because I said yes to you." I just want to pray for you. Lord, I pray for each person here who's struggling under the weight and burdens of life. I pray, Lord, that they would find the freedom that you're offering today. That they, like Bartimaeus, would call out to you in faith and believe that you have healing and help. Lord, I thank you for the fruit that you have set us free and that we are free indeed.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.